Yes, amen. So we're still talking, been 3 weeks because we had Mother's Day, then we had last Sunday. So 3 weeks ago, we're still in this God is Sovereign series, but we're going to shift gears here. How many of you got your homework the other day? Did you do your homework? No, you guys, that's it. Homework. So here's your homework again. Keep reading through the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis. Starts in chapter 37. Again, chapter 38, I'll give you permission to skip it for this homework assignment because it's just like there's one chapter that talks about something else, but then pick it back up at 39 all the way through the end of the book of Genesis because we're going to spend 2 or 3 weeks talking about Joseph. And so you'll at least be familiar, so I don't have to just keep on reading the whole thing all the time. Amen. So God, here's what we're calling this morning. The subtitle of this morning's sermon is God Meant It. Everybody say, God meant it. God meant it. Amen. So I'm going to review just a little bit here for a few moments. But I was reading something the other day or listening to something, I guess it was, and I saw this preacher on Facebook or something, and he was talking about something really, really horrible that happened to his daughter at some point in her life. She's alive still, but outside of dying, one of the worst things that could happen to you, if y'all, I don't need to go any farther than that. Can I get an amen? And this guy, he talked about dealing with this situation and how painful it was, you know, months and months and months and months. Him and his wife, both really devastated by it. And what he said is, he said, here's the attack from the enemy. The attack from the enemy was never to try to get me to think that God was not real. The attack was, is God good? Why are you still trusting him when that happened? Man, that struck me so hard. Because think about this, my beloved. We still, if you look at statistics now, still, with how messed up things are out in our country today in some areas, we still have, and they still say like 90% of America is Christian. They still say that. 90%. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but that's what they say. But think about this. The Bible says even the demons believe in God and they tremble. Right? The demons even believe and they tremble. So there's no, this is all bonus, by the way. Isaiah 61, I think it is, the Lord said, maybe it's 66, I think it's 66. The Lord says, behold, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is a place you could build for me? Or something like this. And then the Lord says, but here's where I will look to the one who trembles at my word. Right? So if we think about what does it really mean to believe God, there's a difference. I want to say this. If 90% of America still believes God, I think it's a much smaller percentage believes in God. Right? So if I was to ask Kevin up front here, do you believe me, right? Do you believe that Mark exists and I'm real and I'm standing right here yelling at you? I'm not yelling yet. Right? Does he believe in me? Does he have faith in who I am as a person? Does he have faith that I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do? That I'm a man of integrity? That I'm going to, right? Most people, if you say, do you believe God exists? Most people in America will say, yeah, I believe that. They don't believe in God. They don't want to follow God. They don't want to submit their lives to God. They don't want to obey God. We talked about that three Sundays ago, which is that in the Bible, to believe scripturally, to believe, you have to obey. That's what the Bible means, right? So if I disobey God, what that really reveals is that I don't actually believe him. Can I get amen? So this is what this pastor said. The enemy never tried to get me to believe that God wasn't real. The enemy started asking me, why would you still trust him after that? Wow. See, if you, again, most of you, some of you did your homework, but let's review, again, review. John 1:1, get us some help up there, Ruth. Let's all read this together, church. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Let's say it together real loud here. All things came into being through him, and apart from him came, nothing came into being that has come into being. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. For by him, how many things? All things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and, oh, that's the spirit realm, right? Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. Let's all say it together, church, come on. All things have been created through him and for him. Verse 17, he is before how many things? And in him, how many things? Hold together. Last one, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We didn't look at this one yet. There's lots of scriptures that tell us the same thing. Amen. Verse 5 in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, for even if there are so-called gods, small g, let me just pause right here. When the Lord says, don't have any, you shall have no other gods before me, you notice that he does not say there are no other gods. He doesn't say that. There are other gods. There are spiritual principalities, powers, rulers. There's spiritual authorities. There are demons. There are all kinds of things out there that will disguise themselves as something good. Right? Even, Jesus says, even the devil will disguise himself as an angel of light. And he'll try to get us to do things that look really good on the surface. And then once we get doing things, we all of a sudden, at some point, we figure out, hopefully, we're like, yikes, this ain't God. It looked good. It looked like it was God. But once I got into it, I figured out, this is not so good. Amen? Look, so there are, even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are how many things? And we exist through him. Right? I was chatting with someone the other day, and we got into this topic for a few minutes that, if we're honest, I think it's really hard for us to get as Americans. In verse 6 here, we exist, what, church? For him. Why, Pastor, why am I on earth? For him. What am I supposed to do? Well, I'm not sure about that, but once you start figuring out that you're not here for you, but you're here for him, that's a big step. Can I get an amen? I'm not here to get a good job and make lots of money. Now, amen, I like making lots of money. I don't make lots of money yet. I'm claiming it, though, in Jesus' name. Can I get an amen? Anybody else want lots of money? I like money. That's good. Yeah. It says the love of money is the root of all evil, not money. You can have money as long as you don't love it. Amen? Is that right, Kevin? It's pretty good preaching. But the Bible teaches us here that you exist for God. God does not exist for you. Can I get an amen? God ain't serving me. Y'all should be happy about that, because sometimes I'm not in a good mood. If he was serving me, we'd be in trouble. Amen. Don't look at me funny. Some of you, if he was serving you, we'd all be in trouble too, because we're not always in a good mood. Amen. We might ask him to do things that might not be so good. Yeah? God created everything through the word, let me back up here. Hang on. Really hope that we're getting this truth that God created everything through the word, and that the only thing not created is what, church? Is God, right? Everybody say God. The only thing not created is God. I hope you're okay with this. Not only was everything created by God and through the word, but all things were created for him. So I said this a few weeks back, but let's make sure we understand this just so before we move forward here. This is important. I said a few weeks ago that most of the things in my house are in my house through me. That does not mean they're all for me. Right? I make the majority of the money in my house. My wife homeschools our kids and whatever, and that's awesome. So most things in my house, I bought them. I made the money. I bought those things. They're in my house through me, but that does not mean that they're for me. I have five women live in my house, so there's lots of things that are not for me in my house. Amen? But when we think about God in the creation, everything that God created, everything is not only from God through Christ, but for God. In other words, there's things in my house that are not useful to me at whatsoever. Whatsoever, nothing. I have zero use for them. But God, when he looks down on the earth, when he looks over all of creation, every single thing that God created is useful and usable by God. Even, my beloved, the things that we don't like. Yeah? Think about this. We tend to think that darkness is bad. Is that true? Right? We're all going through a dark season, right? We say things like this. But you know that one of the plagues in Egypt when God was delivering his people was darkness. And the Bible says it was a darkness that was so thick it could be felt. Whoa. You ever wake up in the middle of the night and it's so dark in your room, right? Like the cloud, there's clouds in the, it's, and you don't know if your eyes are open or shut. You ever feel that way? And you actually go and like touch your eyeballs and make sure that they're, am I open or closed, right? It was darker than that in the land of Egypt. God used darkness to deliver his people. Is that true? Let me give you one more thought about this, because we really got to grab how awesome and powerful the Lord is. Amen? The main reason, I think, church, that fear and anxiety and doubt and all this stuff find their way into our minds is because we have to really grab onto what I'm about to say. So here's the thought. This hit me this week. In a war, like here, right, like wars between nations and stuff like that, there's this team and this team, right? There's these guys and these guys, and this army has their territory, and this army has their territory, and they're both trying to take over each other's territory. Does that make sense? Right? So there's this battle line here, there's a battle line here, and there's good guys and there's bad guys, or however we want to figure that out, right? And this army, this is what they possess, and then this army possesses this over here. Are y'all with me? The problem with that is that in the kingdom, that's not how it works. It doesn't work like that in the kingdom. There's the devil, listen to this, everybody. The devil possesses nothing. The devil possesses nothing. I heard one preacher the other day preaching on deliverance ministry, and he was talking about scripture, right? Not his opinion, scripture. And we talk about demon possession even. Someone's got demon possessed by a demon. He says, nowhere in the Bible, in the original text, do we find a word that denotes the devil possessing anything, including a human. It's not in there. We've translated these words poorly into English, and he says, look, I'm not saying there's not demons can't get on people and everything else, but he says, here's the point. If we think that the devil owns this human being, then we give the devil power that he does not have. And it makes us start thinking that delivering this person from the devil is harder than it actually is, because if the devil owns something, I've got to take something away from him that he owns. He owns nothing. That's scripture. That's not my opinion, everybody, right? We've got to stop giving the devil authority that he does not have, because he's a liar. If we believe a lie about him, he's going to say, man, keep believing that lie all day long. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? What we need to understand is that the Bible says, here's one psalmist says it like this: behold, if I make my bed in heaven, you are there. Behold, if I decide to make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I mount up with wings like an eagle and fly to the remotest parts of the heavens, to the earth, you are there. There is no place I can go from your spirit. Darkness is light to God. God is everywhere all the time. He never did. There's no place in all of creation that God does not, that God is not there right now. Does that make your brain hurt? It does, doesn't it? It's like, wait a second. So is God, God's over here? Yeah, he's over there too. And where is he? Yes. Right? He's all, right? There is no, the devil does not have a battle line that God's trying to overcome. There's no possession of the devil that God is like, oh no, let's go get that. Jesus, my beloved, when he went to the belly of the earth, already busted the gates of hell open. It says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. It's the gates opened. Can I get an amen? Right? Are you tracking with this? Is this all right? I'm going to prove this to you in a minute. Let's go to Romans 8. Here's what, as we're turning there, here's what we struggle. There's no circumstance, there's no situation or season that God is not at least fully aware of, if not right in the middle of it. And this is why we struggle, because we see things on the news. In case y'all haven't paid attention to what Target is doing, y'all need to boycott Target for a little while. Tell them that we ain't spending no money over there anymore. Anybody not know what Target's doing? They are advertised. They got things that kids can buy that say that have Satan. Satan. Satan loves you. Satan. In Target. Yo, yeah. Satan. Satan loves pronouns. Oh, yeah. That's true, everybody. Look it up. So there's a national boycott going out of Target, if you're not aware of that. They've already lost $9 billion of sales in like 3 days. Yeah, amen. Because you know what? Listen. Here's the biggest lie about all that. Target does not care about all those people. Target wants to make money, and they're going to take advantage of people to try to make money. Can I get an amen? So that's the whole lie. Look, we love you. No, you don't. You don't care about me. You don't care about all those, the LGBTQ. You don't care about them either. You want to make money, and that's what you think you're going to do. And you're going to fuel all that stuff that the devil's already doing and try to make it normal and it's okay. No. No. Is that all right? I don't go to Target anyway, but I'm just saying. So here's my point, church. We see the news. We watch horrible things happening around us, around the world. We watch evil people and organizations appear to be thriving and doing whatever they want with seemingly no end in sight. Is that true? You don't got to watch the news for more than about 9 seconds till you're like, oh no, what's going on now, right? And the Lord's trying to get us to understand that there's nothing the devil's doing that he's not at least allowing. Nothing. Is that okay? Romans 8:28, familiar passage, hopefully. And we know that God causes, oh, let's say it together, church, come on. All things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. All right, so number one, we need to back up and just make sure we understand something. Does God work all things together for good for every single human being on the planet? No. He will, but he won't automatically. Does that make sense? Like, he can, but the Bible says here that it's for a group of people. The way that we make into this group is that we love God, number one, and that we're called according to his purpose, right? What's his purpose? Well, you exist for him. That's step one, right? You exist for him. That's step one. If you can't get step one down, we don't even need to go to step two, right? You're on earth because God decided to send you on earth however many years ago you came on the earth. That's it. That's when God decided. He says, okay, it's time for you to go down there, and I've got a purpose for your life. You need to figure out that I'm here to serve God, number one. Amen, right? But then if we think about loving God, hey, average American, do you love God? Oh, yeah, I love God. Really? Would you go to church? Nope. Give any money? Money? I ain't give no money to the church. You know how corrupt the church is? I ain't got no money to the church. Well, do you pray? Pray. Read your Bible? Bible. It's written 2,000 years ago. They translated it hundreds of times. The Bible don't mean nothing. It's all messed up and twisted around everything else. But you love God. Oh, yeah, I love God. Really, how you treat your wife? She's tough, man. But you love God, though. You know, my Bible says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And my Father will love you, and we will come to you and make our home with you. right? Now, does that talk about the, is he talking about the laws of Moses? No, no, my beloved, I don't think he is. He says, you know what? If you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, love your neighbor as yourself, in these two things fulfills all the law and the prophets, right? Because you know what? If I love Kevin, I'm not gonna covet his Camry or his yellow J's up here, right? I saw him when he was walking back down the street this morning from putting the sign out. I said, you need a ride, bro? What up? Saw those yellow J's from all the way up at the end of the street, right? Because here's the thing, church. If I love my neighbor, I will do my neighbor no wrong. I will not. I will not lie to you. I will not abuse you. I will not manipulate you. I will not take advantage of you. I will pour out my life for you, right? Does this make sense? So how do we qualify for this God working all things together for good? For those who love God, right? We are laying our lives down for the glory of God, for his benefit, for the benefit of his body, other believers in Christ. Can I get an amen, right? And then we come into this thing and we're called according to his purpose. So this is what the Lord is saying to us. The Lord saying to us through Paul that God will work all things together. Everybody with me? So, I might get excited here in a minute, but I'm going after something in the spirit. I'm not yelling at y'all. I love you. I think, in general, our view of what is good is what God has to work out all things together towards, like, our view, right? I think that this situation should work out like this. Anybody ever have something, you go through something and you thought you knew how it should work out? Not just me, right? And you prayed and you went to town on that thing. You were praying, you were calling angels in, all kinds of things, and that it did not work out. Yeah? Why? Because God's concept of whatever was good in that situation was different than yours. Right? We're here for him. He's not here for us. Is that true? So that means God has got some other idea, probably more often than not, of what's good than what we think is good, right? So this is why it's so important to read the story of Joseph, because we're going to prove it all with that story. Is that okay? Right? So let me tell you this, right? Our concept of good, typically our concept of good, especially as Americans, is what makes us comfortable, but God's concept of good is our conformity. And not conformity to church or religion, because if you read the very next verse, Ruth, can you give us one more verse up here? It's not on my notes, but give us, I think it's just 29. Here we go. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to what? To the image of his son. Guess what? If you want to be like Jesus, you ain't going to be comfortable very often. The more you agree with the process of becoming like Jesus, the easier it's going to go. Right? If you're going to suggest that, I'm a Christian and I'm following Jesus, and you want to dig your heels in, it's not going to go so good. Right? The more we surrender, the easier it goes. Amen? So let me go this one step further. When we read this passage in Romans, I think what we start to think is that God is taking some kind of passive stance while things happen to us, and then he's going to come in, like pick up the pieces, and put us back together like some kind of Humpty Dumpty story or something like that, right? Like God's just up there, he's sitting on his throne, he's stroking, he probably doesn't have a beard, but he's like stroking his beard, he's watching the devil run around doing all kinds of things, target and all, whatever else he's doing, amen, right? And somehow we get this thing where we're seeing like all these bad things happening, bad, 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 right? And we're watching health issues and government issues and world issues and everything, and we're thinking, okay, God, you better come down here and do something because it's getting pretty bad out there. We get this idea, like there's this mountain of evil just keeps getting bigger, like a big trash heap, and they just keep backing up dump truck loads of sin and evil, and it just keeps getting bigger and darker. But you know the Bible says that when darkness comes and gross darkness on the people, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of God has risen on you, not on him. He's got glory. He says, I'm trying to give my glory to you so that you will stand up and say, no, we're pushing back on this darkness. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? Yeah? So think about this. What we think could, because we're so limited in what we can see and understand, what we think is that look at how hard it's going to be for God to fix all this messed up stuff out here. Oh, no. They've been doing this for 20 years. Oh, my goodness gracious. Like as if it's going to take 20 years. No, it's going to take 20 years for man to try to fix it. Can I get an amen? God can fix anything anytime he wants to in a moment, because I'm just going to say something here that might rub you the wrong way. I am 100% convinced that God is God is like hidden himself inside the plans of the devil. I'm convinced of it. I'm convinced of it. I'm going to show you in the Bible. Prove it. Amen. God, there's not. God is not out there going like, oh no. Every time this something happens, God's not wringing his hands saying, oh no, what am I going to do now? Oh no, I can't believe they did that. Like, as if something surprises God. Yeah? Is this all right? Genesis chapter 50. Let's turn there. I want to be done maybe a little early. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. So let me just, as you're turning there, Genesis 37, you don't need to bring it up, Ruth, but I think if we know this story, if you did your homework, you definitely know it. But if you don't know it, it starts off with Joseph gets a dream, right? There's 12 sons. He's the second youngest. God gives him these two dreams. One dream, all the sheaves bow down, right, is the first dream. Second dream, all the stars bow down, and the moon and the sun and the moon bow down. And so Joseph's a cocky little teenager at this point. And he goes, tells everybody, oh, look at my dream. Y'all going to bow down to me. And even his own father's like, you think we're going to bow down to you? Right? So let me just throw this out there. This is going to be a truth for the next few weeks. How many people have ever had a dream from God? Buckle up. Buckle up. Because I will tell you this. By the time you get to the fulfillment of the dream God gave you, you're probably going to be a broken person. He's going to humble you quite a bit. See, we get these dreams from God, and we're like, oh, look what God's going to do with me. And he's like, right. We got a lot of stuff to straighten out before we get there. Yeah. Right? It'd be like me throwing the keys of my car to my 4-year-old. Hey, go get some groceries. No. Yeah. So Genesis 50, verse 15. That's the backdrop, really super, super short backdrop there, right, of this story. Verse 15 of Genesis 50, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the, everybody say wrong, all the wrong which we did to him. So they sent a message to Joseph saying, your father charged before he died saying, Let me just pause right here. Do y'all realize that his brothers are lying still? Man, these guys are jacked up, man. They are messed up. They are, their dad never said this. Israel never said this. Can I get an amen? So they're still lying, trying to get out of whatever they think is going to happen to them. So they tell him in verse 17, thus you shall say to Joseph, quote, please forgive, I beg you, the transgression of your brothers and their sin, for they did you wrong. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your... Here's the dream. This is fulfillment of the dream, right? He has two separate dreams. One dream, his brothers bow down. The other dream, it's his brothers and his parents. You see it? This is the fulfillment of the first dream right here. But Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. So, Ruth, bring us back to Romans 8:28 just for a minute. I want to show you this, church. I'm going to belabor this. For the 28, please, 28, Ruth. You're good. So if we read Romans 8:28, we see this thing that God causes all things to work together for good. So let me make sure you guys are tracking with me. God, what I see here is if we compare it over to Genesis 50, because it's a very similar statement. Do you guys see that, right? What I see in Romans 8:28 is not that God is taking some kind of passive stance and watching these things go on, but God is actually right in the middle of every single thing that goes wrong. Because if he's got to work it out for good, that means it's not good when it happens. It's probably wrong. Is it true? It's probably evil. It's probably got some kind of intent behind it to destroy or steal or whatever it might be, right? So God, what's going on is that God is like a Trojan horse. I've been waiting to preach this message for like 4 or 5 months now. I keep thinking about like the Trojan horse. You guys remember the Trojan horse story? Where the Romans or whoever it was, I don't know. I slept through history class. But I do remember the Trojans or something, right? The Trojan horse, they had this horse. They were going to give it as a present. But inside the horse was all the bad guys hiding. So they brought the horse into the gates and the bad guys all jumped out, right? I think God has his own Trojan horse, except it's opposite. Like he's bringing something to the devil and the devil says, oh, let that in. But it's really God inside and he jumps out and says, gotcha. Again, every time the devil thinks he's getting away with something, God's hiding in it somehow. And then the devil, right when the devil thinks he's like, yes, I gotcha again. Like you think after thousands of years, the devil would figure it out. You can't pull a fast one on God. You can't trick God. You can't do it. Is that true? So back to Genesis 50, Ruth, verse 20. Genesis 50, 20. As for you, let's read it, church, right here. Come on. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. In order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people. So let me just ask you a question. If God works all things together for good, to those who love God are called according to his purpose, what does Joseph realize here? That all the bad things that happened to him were actually God working something out that he could not see while he was in it. Right? We're gonna dig through this story more in detail the next couple Sundays, right? But anybody ever go through a season that you didn't like? Yeah. Anybody ever be like, are we done yet? Right? Yeah. And God's like, you know, it's like I like brownies that are still gooey in the middle, but if you eat those, you can get sick. Yeah? Yeah, it's true. I'll still do it, right? But right, it's like I don't like baking, but if you bake things, you can pull it out of the oven and on the outside it looks like it's done, but on the inside it's not done yet. Huh. You ever cook chicken on the grill and on the outside it looks done, then you go inside and you cut in the middle and it's like, you're like, yikes, that's not done yet, right? A little salmonella for dinner instead of chicken, right? And this is what we think, my beloved. So many times we see somebody on the outside that looks very good. We think, oh my gosh, this person's got it all together. They're so good. They're so gifted. They're so this or so that. But on the inside, they're still raw. There's something still that God says, we ain't done baking you yet. We got to put you back in the oven because you're not yet ready for people to be able to partake of what I've gifted you to do because you're not yet mature enough to handle this thing properly. Yeah? So, if we can understand, here's what we say. Well, brother, you know that whatever the devil meant for evil, God will turn it around for good. Right? Do you know that that's not what the Bible says? Because what our brain will do is go, okay, there's all this evil over here that God is unaware of or he's not in control of, and we start focusing on how big this pile of evil keeps on getting, and we get upset, and we think, when is God going to show up and do something about this situation? He goes, I've been doing something about this situation the whole time. I was doing something about the situation before the situation even started. I knew this was coming before I put you on the earth. So rather than seeing the devil In all the bad things, what we need to start seeing is I want to see the hand of God in something that looks like God's miles away from it. Because if I can start seeing that God is in the midst of this thing that looks so demonic and so awful and so terrible, and God's just waiting to pull the rug out from under the devil, amen, it will help us become people of great confidence and great faith, because the Bible says stuff like this. He said, do not fret over the evil man who seems to prosper in his way. And that's Psalm 37. You read down a few more verses that says, because the Lord sees what he's doing and laughs at it. Because the Lord knows his end is coming soon. So, my goodness, church, if the God is laughing at the enemy, should we not be doing the same thing? I was driving around yesterday, had to run my kids all over the place, and you know what I just felt so strongly in my heart? I just realized that. I realized it about 2 o'clock yesterday. I don't know how to describe it. Just felt so, light. And like 2 o'clock, I started kind of actually recognizing, wow, I haven't felt this in a long time. And as I was driving one of my daughters somewhere, I just felt like the Lord said this to me. I'm bringing my joy back into the body of Christ. I felt joyful. Like, not happy, right? Not happy. I felt joyful, right? And I tell you what, church, I had the craziest dream last night. Like, demonic. I woke up. I thought I had to go out. I literally had to go out and look in my driveway to make sure my truck was still in the driveway. I had this crazy dream. Crazy. Like, I woke up shook. I haven't woke up shook from a dream in like 10 years. And I said, oh my gosh, look at you, man. The devil, he's so scared of what God's about to do. He's trying to shake everybody and get us looking at all kinds of things we shouldn't be looking at. I got up. I was a little bit upset about it, like 3 o'clock in the morning. And then I said, you know what? That's it. I'm not going to let this stuff get in me and get on me. And I'm like, you know, we're still going to come here. We're going to praise God. And I want to tell you, church, the devil, every time, Pastor, why is the devil keep messing with me? Because he's scared of you figuring out who you are. He's scared of you getting this thing into your spirit and saying, you know what? Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Right? Is that okay? See, what happens, my beloved, if we don't get this right in our mind, is that we will focus on what the enemy is doing and waiting for God to show up and do something about it. Am I the only one that's ever waited for that? Right? And now, I tell you what, church, I don't like when things are not going the way I want them to go. I think you got something wrong upstairs if things are going wrong and you like it. I don't think we're supposed to like it. We're supposed to be thankful, because what we're supposed to realize is that, okay, there's no way this came into my life without God allowing it to come into my life. And then if God allowed it to come in, that means there's some kind of purpose behind it. And he's trying to work something out right in here. He's trying to shift something that's going on up here. God is trying to get us away from allowing everything out there to get us off track. Right? Think about when the disciples get in the boat with Jesus. He says, we're going to the other side. I think we know the story. Jesus takes a nap in the back on a pillow, right? And a big storm comes up. At least half of those guys were professional fishermen, right? And the storm is so bad that the water's coming into the boat, and these guys are freaking out. It's not the first time the water's come into their boat. If you ever go fishing, water gets into your boat. Can I get an amen? Right? Especially if you go down into the ocean, water gets into the boat sometimes. Yeah? But there's so much water coming, these guys are like, we're going to die. And they wake Jesus up, right? Or they shake. They shake him, and they say, what is the question? Don't you care? There's the question. Don't you care? Don't you care? Right? We all know the Bible, Jesus gets up and he rebukes the storm, says they don't got any faith. But here's the point. It says that when the storm ended, one of the accounts, it says immediately they were where they're supposed to go. So we tend to think, my beloved, that storms in our lives are blowing us off track, when in reality, storms may very well be blowing us on track. Right? A storm in your life maybe that storm's coming because you are off track. Amen. And God's saying, look, you ain't listening any other way, so now I'm going to send you a storm. I told your pastor what to tell you something. You didn't listen to him. I sent you a prophet. You didn't listen to that prophet. I sent you a coworker. You didn't listen to the coworker. I sent you something on Facebook, some random thing off, but you didn't listen to that. So now here comes a storm, because that's the only thing you're going to pay attention to is a storm. Amen. And that storm is going to blow us on track, not off track. Because God's in the storm, everybody. Is that true? I need to look a scripture up here. This hit me during worship, and I don't want to forget it. Hang on. Let's stand up to our feet. I'm actually done right here. Let me just find this scripture really fast. And I just got a few more things to say. Is this making sense to everybody? Victory. Yeah, bro. All right, so next week we're going to look at this another passage that's, oh man, it's so good, about this story of justice. So everybody do your homework this week, amen? And so to finish up today, what I want us to grab onto is what Joseph says here. You meant it for evil, but God meant it. It for good. That wording is all there in the original. I've studied it extensively. What Joseph perceived to be evil for years and years and years was actually God the whole time. It was God working it out. Is that true? So here's a scripture hit me. We were singing that song. We're singing a song about we will rise in your victory, right? Take courage. He's in the waiting. As we're singing that, here's the scripture that hits me, and I'm done right here. For this is love. This is 1 John chapter 5. For this is love. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory, right? That song says, we will rise in your victory, right? This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. What? No, God. Victory is when everything works out the way I want it to. No. The Bible says that our victory that has overcome the world is that our faith will not be shaken no matter what goes on out there. We'll be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Amen. We will quench every fiery dart of the devil with the shield of faith. Is that true? Amen. So let's raise our hands right here. Lord, we come to you this morning. And Father, as we take a couple of weeks here to look at this story, I pray, Lord, that every person within the sound of my voice, oh God, Lord, if we look at life and circumstances and all these things, we've all got something going on that's trying to get us to say, why are you still trusting God? Look at how long you've been praying about that. Why are you still praying? Why are you still trusting it? Why do you think he's still going to come through? But Lord, in Jesus' name, we come against every demonic thought that's trying to say that you're not good, that you're not faithful, that you're not kind, that you're not patient. God, everything that's lying to us to try to say, oh man, what's the point of that? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Lord, in Jesus' name, we curse those thoughts right now, Father, and we cast them aside and we stand on your word, Father, that there is, you are the God of all flesh and nothing is too difficult for you, Father God. Lord, that whatever anybody that's ever done evil against me, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. One preacher just the other day, he said, one of the tricks of the devil is to get us thinking about ourselves instead of God and others. The more we think about ourselves, the more miserable we're going to be. So, Lord, right now, every one of us, God, probably, I bet everybody in this room got something that if you thought about it for just a couple minutes, you'd be like, oh, no. But God, we cast all these things right now. The Lord gave me this scripture this morning. We all know it, but I'm done right here. That we're to cast all of our anxieties on the Lord because he cares for us, and the peace that passes understanding will guard. Everybody say guard. Guard our hearts and our minds. And it was guard. I kept hearing that, guarding, on guard. And I saw just a quick vision, like a picture of like a guard. You know what a guard does? He protects whatever he's guarding by fending off whatever's trying to get at what he's guarding. So if I cast all my anxieties on the Lord, which is the command there, then he says, I'm going to step in and I'm going to guard you. I'm going to guard your heart and I'm going to guard how you're thinking. So Father, right now, as an act of faith, we just lay those things at your feet, God. Everything that we're worrying about, everything that looks like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know this. I don't know that. Lord, we lay it at your feet right now, oh God, in faith. And Lord, I release that promise over your people this morning, God, that you will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Thank you, God. This week is a week that we'll notice our minds are still. Our hearts are at peace, Lord. Because of you, not because of us, God, but because of you. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. 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 Bless you guys. Have an awesome week, Facebook and YouTube. And guys, we'll be here on Wednesday, 7 o'clock for prayer. We'd love to have y'all come out and have a good week. Enjoy the nice weather. Happy Memorial Day. Amen. Blessings. Amen.
Can I just say something really quick about the Target thing? So 99% of what Pastor said about Target was true, but I want to just shift the perspective on it. It's not that particular shirt that was sold at Target that Satan loves pronouns or something like that, but it's Target that is partnering with this other company that does this and selling some of their products. So I think that what this is a way to like sneak it in the back door. So what I would like to do is maybe pray for other companies, other large companies, and I'm not naming other companies, but I would really love to see like Hobby Lobby or another large store to start broadcasting shirts for, you know, that speak truth and speak life and start putting like the focus on faith-based shirts and faith-based movies and faith-based music and, you know, things like that. So I think that, you know, I think the thing that's going on with Target is sort of like an iceberg where you see the little tiny top at the top, but 85% of the iceberg's at the bottom, you know. And so I think that what we should do is pray for that 85% to be flipped up so that the faith-based things are the things that are drawing people's attention, you know what I mean? So that like the faith-based things, and I'm not saying that like Walmart should put out a brand of like faith-based clothing, but I think that we should be praying for that faith-based stuff to rise up, to be brighter than the other stuff that's trying to trickle in the back door, you know? So I don't know. Do you want to lead us in that prayer?
So yeah, let's just take a moment here, church, and pray. And also just be practical about it. Amen. Stop spending money at those stores, right? Spend money elsewhere where you know that they're not doing these kinds of things. If they lose money, they'll stop selling this stuff. Amen. So Lord, such a good point. Thank you, doctor. But Lord, we ask right now that you would again inspire some of these other companies, whether they're Christian companies like Hobby Lobby or not. Let them see, by the power of your spirit, God, we thank you for, I bet Walmart or whatever, I bet there's Christians in that company, high-ranking people. Let them get the boldness to say, you know what, let's do something about the Jesus, about the cross, about truth, God, like scripture. Let's put some things out here that are actually good and godly. And Lord, I thank you that not only are the companies going to be bold enough to do it, but that the nation will respond with their money. Yes. So, you know, we're going to support that. We're going to spend our money here, and we're not going to spend it here. And, Lord, that you convict all those other companies, say, man, we ain't going to do that again. We're not going to, right? Even if that's all that needs. So Lord, we thank you right now by the power of the Holy Ghost and the kingdom of God. Thank you, Father, for moving powerfully in corporate America, God. From every aspect, every company, insurance agencies, I don't care what it is, God, that you're going to start raising Christians up that say, look, we need to build these companies better. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Have an awesome week. Amen.